Welcome everyone to the gathering. I'm so glad that you're here to join us. And before we start the lesson, let's pray. God, I thank you. I thank you for the anchor of hope. And I thank you that you're a God of hope, that hope is part of your character and how you describe yourself. And I thank you, Lord, that because of you and relationship with you, we are never hopeless. We always have hope. And so I pray tonight that hopelessness would be shattered, that, Lord, even in little ways where we have let hopelessness creep in, that you would come and just turn the light on, that darkness would have to flee. And God, I just pray that any lies we believed that have caused us to be hopeless, Lord, that you would erase, and Father, that you would show us truth, and Lord, that that truth would set us free, and that we would turn around and give the hope that we've received to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. You know, as I was thinking about this lesson, the idea of this lesson came months ago. I was visiting with a woman that lives out of state, and I was ministering to her and listening to her, and she made a comment, and I said, you know, I think you've just lost hope, but I want to help you find it. And she was very transparent. She said, you know what? You were right. And she said, you know, there are many people that struggle with hopelessness. And she said, but they don't admit it. And she said, I think that a lot of them don't admit it because they don't even recognize it. It's been such a thing that has creeped into their life. And she said, I can see how that has creeped into my life. And she's a very strong believer. But just in our conversation, I could see that she had really lost some hope. I think it's because people are embarrassed about admitting that, I guess I have lost hope in that area. And I think another big thing is Satan has come to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to steal the joy in our life. He wants to steal our peace. He wants to steal our identity. He wants to steal anything he can because he doesn't want us to be free. And a big reason is free people set other people free. You know, Satan doesn't come, he's not sitting there with a little, he doesn't knock on your door and have his little black suit on and his pitchfork. No, he's deceptive. He hits when we're low. He hits when we're at the bottom. And that's when he tries to do it. And I'll tell you why I think he tries to do that. Because if he can get us and attack our hope, attack our joy, the real target that he's trying to get to is our faith in God. Because see, when we are hopeless, it can start a spiral to where we doubt God loves us, we wonder where God is, we can't figure out why this is happening, and then hopelessness can begin to set in. So hopelessness is dismal. And I'll tell you why. When I have struggled with being hopeless in a situation, it kept me stuck. It kept me from moving forward. And we can believe that lie that things will never change, that we're in this situation all alone, that, you know, God really doesn't care. And those are all lies. And so tonight, I've got a good number of scriptures to share with you, and even ones I'm not going to get to. But I want to show you how God is a God of hope, and he wants to restore your hope tonight. I want to give you a definition of being hopeless. It's having no expectation of good or success. Now, you might have a lot of hope in one area, but there might be another area in your life that you really kind of lost some hope. Even as I was going through this lesson, I could see how there were just little areas that my hope had been chipped away at, and I needed to get it restored. Another definition of being hopeless is we feel a situation is incapable of redemption or improvement. Incapable of redemption or improvement. And what happens when we play with hopelessness and we begin to believe its lie is it can often lead to depression. And I know that that is something that a lot of people struggle with. I know I battled depression right after losing my late husband. I felt like my life was over. Cognitively, I knew it wasn't. I was 49, I had kids. You know, I wasn't destitute, but I felt like my life was over, and I had to wrestle with those feelings. Even though I knew the word, I knew God was with me, that was what I felt like. When we entertain depression, you know, it's kind of like a mood disorder, and it is marked usually by sadness, inactivity, difficulty in thinking, concentration, even can be a significant loss or increase in appetite. And hopelessness makes you feel dejected and sometimes suicidal tendencies. You know, right after I lost my husband, my father, 6 weeks later, was hospitalized, and it was pretty critical. He had a major blockage in his heart. And my mom wasn't doing well. I was already overseeing her care because she was an invalid. And I felt like that caregiving, hospitals, was going to be my life, because it just seemed like it didn't end. Mom had been sick 6-7 years before Joe got sick. And then when he got sick, I was on a fast track. You know, we were trying to help him. And then to come off of that and already dealing with a loss, a major loss in my life, and so many things shifting. When Dad got sick and I found myself at Texan Heart Hospital, I just thought, oh my gosh, maybe this is my life. Maybe this is just going to be my life all the time. And I was focusing on the negative. The truth was, it was a season, and it took a little bit of time for things to get better. But you can see how just the hopelessness, that's what I mean, the enemy doesn't play fair. He was hitting when I was already down. It's like stepping on somebody after they've tripped and fallen versus helping them back up. So what we have to do is, where are we going to get our hope? We got to find our hope. It's like, and if you're sitting there tonight and you're like, yeah, I can really identify with the hopelessness, I don't want you to feel bad about yourself. I just want you to go on a great adventure and find your hope again, okay? When we've lost something, I know you've probably heard me say in my lesson about peace that, you know, I begin to realize sometimes I'd lost my peace. Something could happen and it had robbed me of my peace. And I'd say, I've got my peace is here. I've just got to find it. You know, it's kind of like your keys or your sunglasses or your cell phone. You put it down, you get busy doing something else, and then you're like, now where is that? You know, especially if you're over 50, some of you may not experience that yet because you're not there, but some of us can. Anyway, hope, and this is, if you're taking notes, this is one of the things to fill in the blanks. Hope keeps us moving forward. And that's why it's critical that we find it anytime we've lost it. And it's not only vital in crisis situations, but it's finding our hope is very important in just everyday life. Because how many of you have had some challenges this week? Things just didn't go exactly like you wanted or planned, or you had an unexpected happen. And so keeping our hope alive and vibrant and knowing where to get it, and we're going to talk about that, is very, very important. We need hope in business. If you have financial situations, I know that there's times I just thought we're never going to get out of debt. I remember thinking that. My late husband and I had gotten into some debt, and I thought, I don't know. We might be chipping away at this forever. I don't know. And I kind of lost hope in that, and yet God came through. God came through, and there was redemption. And I think that is the big thing when we're talking about hope and hopelessness. Something that is important is the situation might look this way, but we can turn around and say, but God, but God. That's where we find our hope. So my question to you tonight, while you're sitting there thinking and listening, is where do you put your hope? Where have you been getting your hope? Has it been in your intelligence? Has it been in your money? Has it been in your friends, your spouse? Where have you gone to get hope? See, our hope cannot be in our circumstances because people, money, life situations, bosses, our health, all of those things can fail us. Is that true? All of those things can cause us to have to look for hope. At least they have in my life. God is the only one that's constant that we can depend on. I wish I could tell you there were, you know, five other places, but there's not. In my life, it's been God, and it's been God alone. And the important thing, too, is that we run to God, not away from Him, when adversity and trouble knocks at our door. You know, there's nothing wrong with admitting our feelings and even telling God or telling a trusted friend that you've lost hope in an area, because God knows it anyway, and He wants to help you. He wants to restore it, and He wants to set you on a path that's going to lead to where there's freedom, and you have that hope restored, and you see a resolution to the issue. I'm going to read, and if you've got your Bible, from Hebrews 6, 3 through 20. Now, when you go home, I'd encourage you to read that whole passage. I'm going to kind of go quickly. This is from the Passion Translation, so it may not be exactly what's in your Bible, but I really, when I read, and I oftentimes when I'm studying for lessons, I look at different translations to see how different translations come. You know, the Bible tells us that Abraham had been promised to be the father of many nations. And he was old. He was really old. He and Sarah were both old. They were well beyond childbearing years, and they still hadn't had a baby. And so I want you to hear what happens, or what Scripture tells us. It says, now when God made a promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater than himself, he swore an oath of his own integrity to keep the promise for sure as God exists. So he said to Abraham, have no doubt, I promise to bless you over and over and give you a son and multiply you without measure. So Abraham waited patiently in faith and succeeded in seeing the promise fulfilled. It is very common for people to swear by an oath or something greater than themselves, for the oath will confirm their statements and end all destitute. So in the same way, God wanted to end all doubt and confirm it even more forcefully to those who would inherit the promise. His purpose was unchangeable, so that God added his vow to his promise. So it's impossible for God to lie, for we know that his promise and his vow will never change. God does not lie. And now we have run into his heart to hide ourselves in his faithfulness. I love that. Running into his heart, his word, who he is, to hide ourselves in his faithfulness. This is where we find his strength and his comfort, for he empowers us to seize what he already has been established ahead of time, an unshakable hope. And this is what I really want you to concentrate on. Verse 19, we have this certain hope like a strong, unbreakable anchor, holding our souls to God himself. Our anchor of hope is fastened to the mercy seat, which sits in the heavenly realm beyond the sacred threshold. And the rest of the story is Abraham and Sarah had a baby. His name was Isaac, and he did become the father of many nations. You can read the story. But hope is like an anchor. It's like an anchor that when we drop it, it can hold us firm and secure as the waves of life toss you around. How many of you here can say, I feel the waves of life tossing me around, you know, to where you're just kind of trying to get your equilibrium? And I'll tell you, I went deep sea fishing in May of last year, and I've never been so sick in all my life. I tossed biscuits. I never throw up, but I made up for lost time on that particular trip. And when you're out in a boat and you're being tossed by the waves, it's not a whole lot of fun. You know, I wished that guide, and I was so thankful when he said, I think we hit a school of fish. I'm going to drop the anchor. And I'm like, oh, there is a God. I know. I'm going to live now. And I did. When he dropped that anchor, I got out my pole, and I really caught a great big fish. I really did. I've got a picture to show you. And when we started moving again, I mean, there I went. But anyway, it was a good 45 minutes, and I did catch a limit, so that's the good news. But hope is like an anchor, and it can keep us stable. It can keep us from being heart sick. Okay, just like I was sick from motion sickness, it can keep our heart from being sick. And the big anchor with hope is going back to love. When you get it sound and secure in your heart how much God loves you, it revolutionizes your life, because no matter what comes, you're going to be able to be steady in God's love. Everything begins with love, because that's who he is. That's who he is. Hope becomes an anchor when we know how much, and this is part of what you fill in the blank, how much he loves us. Love is the beginning. The love leads to trust, which leads to hope, which leads to peace. When you have hope in place, your heart's going to be at peace. It really is. Let's look at Lamentations 3:21. It says, I love this. It says, yet this I call to mind, and therefore have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassion never fails. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. And it is good to wait patiently for the salvation of the Lord. I could spend all night just talking about that one scripture, but that summarizes when you look right there, when we call to mind, when we remember God's faithfulness in our lives in other situations, we have hope. And it's because of his great love. And every morning, maybe you lost your hope today, maybe you lost it last month or last week or last year, but you know what? Tomorrow is your do-over day. It can actually start tonight. His compassion is new every morning, and he'll renew you. And in this scripture, we see that it's good to wait for the Lord. And we're not just waiting and inactive. We're waiting on a God who dearly loves us. And it's good for us. It's good for you. It's a deposit in your emotional bank when you really tap into the hope in God, not in your circumstances, not in people, but in God. So what is hope, and how do you get it if you've lost it? And what do you do when what you've hoped for hasn't happened? We're going to talk about that. Our hope has to be in God's ability to work things for our good. I'm going to say that again. Our hope has to be in God's ability to work things out for our good. And when we partner with him, then we're in a much better place. Now, everything may not work the way we plan or envision. How many of you can say, things have not worked out the way I've planned? Mm-hmm. Yeah, how many situations do you want me to talk about tonight? Did you bring your sleeping bag? No. But God promises to work it together for our good. And I have seen that over and over and over and over in my life. And that's a lot of what we're going to talk about next week. Romans 8:28 tells us, and I'm not making this stuff up, it's in the Bible, says, and we know that in all things God works together for good. Works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes. I don't care how messed up your situation is, God is going to work it together for your good. And you know, the longer I've gone on, it almost becomes a little game for me to look and how on earth is he going to turn this thing around? How's he going to do it? You know, there's some things I'm still waiting to see how he's going to turn it all around for my good. But there's other things I can say, ah, now I see how he turned that for my good. Now I see the benefit. Now I see what I've gained and how I'm richer because that situation that I didn't plan turned out better in my life. And he even cares about the little things. You know, some of you that have listened and were here last year know that I was doing all this remodeling, trying to get some things updated in my house, and it was a job, and my carpet didn't come in, and it was extended. My pay, and in 7 days, your carpet will be installed, took, I think it was 2.5 or 3 months to get done. But do you know the company actually gave me $750? Because they felt so bad that it had taken long. That's right there. God redeemed somewhat. Now, did I have to go through a lot? Mm-hmm. Did I have to trust God? Did I have to practice my peace? Uh-huh. But he turned it around. And there's still things I'm trying to figure out how he's going to turn around. In fact, next Tuesday, and I guard my Tuesdays. I don't plan anything. I don't really go anywhere because I'm preparing and putting the last, you know, minute touches on things. But next Tuesday is when they're coming because I had all this water damage, okay, after I got my house somewhat in order. And next Tuesday is when they're coming to chop up all my Saltillo tile in my living room and in my dining room and in my kitchen. I am so anxious to see how God is going to work that together for my good. I might come back a spiritual giant because right now I can't even fathom what that's going to be like with jackhammers and sledgehammers. And anyway, stay tuned for the rest of this story. But hope, how do we define hope? Let's talk about hope. Hope is defined as a feeling of expectation and desire for something to happen. Hope is defined as a feeling of expectation and desire for something to happen. To not have hope, and that's another one of the words you'll fill in the blank, to not have hope is a negative mindset. And it can be detrimental, not only for us, but for the people around us. And we don't always get to choose our circumstances, but we can choose our attitude in life. We can choose how we're going to walk through something. You get to choose that. You don't always get to choose, you know, what hits you. What hits you out of nowhere, but you do get to choose how you're going to get to how you're going to go through it. And what do we do when we've lost our hope or when those things happen? Well, number one is we take charge of our feelings because our feelings can lie to us. So when you find yourself in situations that seem hopeless or you recognize it, a few days down the road, the first thing that we have to do is to take charge of our feelings. See, David took charge of his feelings and his hopelessness in the Bible. I love David in the book of Psalms, how he preaches to himself, how he is honest. I can't wait to meet him one day in heaven. But David took charge of his emotions and he preached to himself. And it says in Psalms 42, verses 5 and 6, it says, David says, he's talking to himself. Now, it's okay to talk to yourself, okay? My husband the other day came around the corner and he goes, "Who are you talking to?" I said, "I'm talking to myself." He goes, I said, "No, it's really okay. It's in the Bible. I read it." It says Psalms 42, 5 and 6, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and the heights of Hermon from Mount Mizar." So he reminds himself, this is a power-packed scripture because he's being honest. He's saying, "I'm distraught. I am downcast. I feel like I just want to crawl in a hole and eat worms." You know, that's kind of what he's saying. And I love his honesty. You know, I lived a big part of my Christian life and I wasn't ever gut-level honest with God. Now he knew it anyway and loved me anyway. But I can't tell you how freeing it was to be able to just say, "God, I feel angry because of this." Or, "God, I feel down." You know, you can run to God. And when we run to him, then he just, it's like he just gives us a big hug and he says, "I want to help you. I want to help you." Because we're running to him. He wants relationship with us. That is the big, big key. But when we don't run to him and we just try to hurry in our own flesh to try to fix things, it can not only mess it up, but it can also make us heart sick. Let's look at Proverbs 3 and verse 12. In this scripture says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life." You know, when hope or our dreams drag on or delayed, that can be depressing. How many of you can sit there and say, I've been praying for something for over a year? I've been praying for something for over 5 years. I've been praying about this for 10 years. Yeah, there are things that drag on, and I cannot tell you why. I can't tell you that, but I can tell you that God is in it. And there's something there that we can glean and get the gold out of that situation. No one likes waiting. It feels good to get what we want, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. And if you doubt me, check out a two-year-old. What happens when they don't get what they want? You know, or they throw a little tantrum. I think sometimes we can do that too when we don't get what we want. But when our prayers aren't answered on our timetable, what happens is we can experience disappointment, disillusionment, and we can lose our hope. And that's a spiral, a downward spiral that the enemy wants us to fall into. And, you know, I actually did a podcast on dealing with life's disappointments. And if you haven't listened to that one might be a good one. And there's also another podcast that I've done called God is in the Waiting. So I would encourage you maybe to check those out if you have time. You know, deferred hope, when something drags on and we don't see an answer to our prayer like we want it, that word deferred means to put off, to drag out, a drawn out process. You know, and we like things, my goodness, I think it's harder the way we have to live because we live in a microwave society. We want our hot water hot so we can put our tea bag in it, and man, we put it in the microwave in a minute, 20 seconds, you've got hot water. You know, just like that. We live in that kind of society where whatever we want, we can get it much faster than people could years ago. And so I think it's really, we have to learn and develop and cultivate looking to God and keeping our hope and waiting on Him, probably, maybe, a little more than people in the past. I don't know, they might argue with me on that. But hope deferred can look like many things. Praying for a family member to turn to the Lord. Selling a business. You know, when Stephen and I got married, we had this plan. We've been married 7 years. And our business, we planned that, you know, our business would be sold. Our business in South Texas within 18 months. And it's still not sold. And there were several things that have happened. You know, there was a downturn in the market, in the oil field market. And then there have been other things that we've had to get in order. And just even that thing, that was our plan. And a lot of things have been affected by the fact that that hasn't happened. But nevertheless, I know that God is in it. And somehow He's working it for our good. And it will happen at a time that is the right time. But in the meantime, we're sure getting to learn a lot of things. Maybe you've been praying for a healing in your physical body. Or maybe you've been praying for your mate or your marriage. And it seems like those prayers have gone unanswered. As we hope for something that's important and it keeps being postponed, that longing to get what we want can kind of make us sick, sick in our heart. And heart means our heart in this scripture. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. It's our heart is our mental and our emotional core. It's our inner man. And scripture tells us too, we have to guard your heart. It says in Proverbs, I think it's Proverbs, guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. So many things flow. So that's why it's important that we hang on to hope, because it can cause despair and it can lead in a lot of other can cause a lot of other things like depression, anxiety, and actual physical sickness. There are illnesses, and doctors will tell you that there are illnesses that we bring on ourselves because we don't take care of our heart. Bitterness, you know, unforgiveness, those kinds of things are very detrimental to your health. So, yes, there are some things that might take a while, but it's so important to hang on to our hope. And here's the one thing I have learned. In those things that draw out, it's those the experience that I've gained with God that is what makes me rich. See, experience makes you rich. And the big part of my testimony is who God has been for me when my prayers didn't get answered the way I wanted them to with my late husband. You know, he got sick. He was 52. We had so much life ahead of us. We were just stepping into the empty nest, and he got sick. And he was gone in 9 months. And my prayers didn't get answered the way I wanted them to. But I can stand here tonight and tell you that God has been faithful every step of the way. And he's given me a rich life, and I'm not the same person that I was 11 years ago when he got sick. And those of you that have known me that long, you know, and know me well, I'm not the same person. And it's in that that I've gleaned and I've grown and I have a message. I don't just know a bunch of scriptures. I don't just know that. I know it here. I know it deep in my heart. Because I've seen who God was for me when life looked over. And I'm here tonight to tell you that I don't care how bad your situation looks, the God of hope wants to give you his vision of your situation. And he wants to draw you close. And he wants to speak life and encourage your heart. That's the God that we serve. And you know, it says in Psalm 39 and verse 7, the Lord is the only one that we can put our hope in. It says, and so, Lord, where do I put my hope? My hope is in you only. You only. God's the only one we can put our hope in. So going to his word has to be your number one and your go-to place to find encouragement. Number two, know that God will work the situation for your good. Ask him for it and hang on to his promises. Romans 15 and verse 4 tells us, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of Scripture, we might have hope. So the Bible is where you go. And I'm telling you, there have been many a days where I've woken up in the morning and I'm tired and I've opened my Bible and just said, Lord, I just need you to encourage my heart. I need you to encourage my heart. And you know, as I've done that, as I've gone to his word, that's where I usually find a promise or something to hang on to. My friend may not answer the phone. You know, people and things can not be there, but the Lord really can, and his word really can. I mean, my goodness, we can access it now on our cell phone. There's an app, it's called the YouVersion. If you don't have it on your cell phone, get it, because it helps when you're standing in line and it helps make that time useful. You can tap in and say, I need a scripture on hope, and it'll pop up. So there's so many negative things in life, circumstances, people, situations, and hope is where that's what we have to hang on to. I can't say that enough. The third thing is when we go to the Word and we ask for promises and put our hope in Him, then we can declare it. So the third thing is when you feel like you've lost hope in a situation, go to the Word, find a promise, and then declare it. In other words, speak it forth. That's what I mean by using the word declare. It's a fancy word for something. Just speak it forth. Sometimes you need to hear. You need to hear the word out loud. You need to hear maybe God's promise or his prophecy that he's given to you. You need to hear it. And I love this scripture, Romans 15, verse 13. I first heard this scripture, I didn't read it in the Bible, I heard it. It was a little song that I heard on scripture memory, and it had a catchy little tune to it, and it came at a time where I really needed hope, and it is, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him." And this little song went, it was just real, now I'm not going to sing it because I really can't sing. But it was, no, I really don't sing. But it went, and I sang it over and over. I would just sing it kind of just to kind of keep my peace because it was a time when there was a lot of turmoil in my life. But it was, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him." And then it would repeat. And I would play, I would sing that to myself like a broken record. But it kept me grounded. It made me put my hope in God. And that's who God says he is right there. He says, "May the God of hope." He says, that's how I define myself. I am a God of hope. And it says, "Fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, as you wait patiently from him." And so hope is part of God's character. And guess what? You've heard me say before, we are made in his image. So that DNA is in us. So there is hope in you. There is hope in you. It's part of your DNA. And folks, it's time we get up and we walk in it in the situations that are hard in life. And in that comes our joy and our peace. I mean, there's so much that goes into that scripture. That's such a good one, too. Number four, when we've lost our hope, what can we do? Write down your promise. Read it to yourself. But then I challenge you to memorize it. Memorize it. Because you might have a situation happen and you don't have time to pick up your Bible. You're having to run to the hospital because a loved one is sick and they might not make it. Have that, hide the word in your heart and memorize it. And one of the ways I used to do that is I would write it on a little index card and I would put it, like tape it to my mirror or whatever. And then I got sticky notes. You know, and I would put that sticky note by my phone, or I'd put it in my car to remind me. One of the promises, and I'm going to give this one to you tonight, it's a great place to start, is Jeremiah 31, 17. And it says, "So there is hope for your future." Isn't that awesome? Let's all say it together. "So there is hope for your future." Now let's personalize it. "So there is hope for my future." Okay. And then I want you to go home and take whatever circumstance it is that you're dealing with and say, "So there is hope for my marriage or my business or my health or my," that, plug it in, make it personal, because God's a personal God. Grab a hold of the promises God has. I'll give you another one. I'll give you another good one. Psalm 71, verse 14 is a declaration of hope. And it says, "As for me, I will always have hope." That's what David said. Now, that's the same man that a while ago was saying, "Why so downcast, O my soul?" You know? But then he turns around and he says, as for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. I'm much quicker to find my hope than I used to be in the past because now I have some experience. I've seen God's faithfulness. So let's go on to the next one, Psalm 33. The Bible has an awful lot to say about hope. Psalm 33, verse 20. It says, we wait in hope for the Lord. Who are you waiting on? Are you waiting for the jury's verdict in a situation? Are you waiting for, you know, just the quick fix? Are you waiting on God? Psalm 33:20 says, hope, it says, we wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and he is our shield. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and he is our shield. And Psalm 62, verse 5 says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is in him. Now, God may not answer your prayers the way you want them to, but when we put our expectation in his character, his goodness, his love, his faithfulness, that he's with us, when we put our expectation in him, then we have something to hope for. We can wait expectantly on wonder how he's going to fix it. It's almost like being surprised, you know, like a little kid. I think of like a children at Christmas. My grandbabies were with us this Christmas, and Christmas morning they went out. You know, they came out of their rooms and they walked into the living room, and they were expecting presents. You know, they were expecting some things there, and they came out with such joy and anticipation. And folks, that's the way we need to be in our situations in life. Do you go running out? Do you wake up every morning and go running out? I wonder how God is going to work today. And it may not, probably won't be the way you think, but I promise he's working. I promise he's working. And when you run to him, you can have that anticipation and that childlike wonder. And, you know, it says over in Scripture, you know, that he wants us to come with childlike faith. Childlike faith. Okay, so what's a benefit? Why on earth should we have hope? Well, if you're still not convinced, one of the benefits of hope, and I like this as someone that is 60, is it renews our strength. Isn't that cool? Hope renews our strength. We won't be weary when we hang on to hope. And we can walk with God and have peace and joy no matter what is going on. Isaiah 40, I'm not making this up. Isaiah 40, verse 30 and 31 says, even youth grow weary and grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. If you're tired, if you're exhausted, mentally, emotionally, even physically, I challenge you to go look for hope because it's going to renew you. I've got a lot of things going on right now. It's like a real busy time. But I can tell you, I don't really feel worn out. And I guess because there's so many things, I can't handle it. So I have to hang on to the hope that God is in the middle and he's going to help me in these situations. But what that word hope, when you dig into it, and I remember digging in and finding that, I love to take and go back into concordance into the Greek and the Hebrew and see what words mean. And that word hope means to bind and strengthen. To bind and strengthen. That's what that word means in that translation. In the King James Version, it says, "And those that wait upon the Lord." And our current, more current translations, NIV, says those that hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They'll soar on wings like eagles. We went to Alaska a couple of years ago, and we were able to sit on this cliff and watch the eagles just soar. And I'm telling, they were massive. Their wingspan was so great. And just to see them just glide effortlessly through the air was incredible. It was incredible. I've got it on video if you want to see it. But it says we won't grow faint. Note that we are not to hope in anything but the Lord. And that's how hopelessness seeps in, is oftentimes we put our hope in something else, or we expect something to happen by this time, and it doesn't. It doesn't. And hope is not only vital in big things, but even our secular society has found out the value of hope. I'll never forget when I went... my husband was doing a 10-hour chemo treatment, and our doctor had said, "Ask me any questions, I'll be happy to tell you. Please make sure you only go to MD Anderson, to our library, and look up things, because you'll find a lot of inaccurate things on the internet." And so one day when Joe was doing this long chemo treatment, I went to the library, and I started reading up on the kind of cancer he had. And I found some things that weren't that encouraging. And I went to his office, and I just asked the nurse, I said, "I would like to speak to Dr. Keyes. Can I speak with him?" And she said, "Yeah, wait a minute, and you know, I'll get you in to talk to him." And one of the things I found as I was asking this doctor, I said, "How come you didn't tell us this?" And you know what his words to me were? He said, "I will tell you now, you're asking the question." He said, "But we have found here at MD Anderson how important it is to give our patients hope. It helps them fight, and it helps them live longer." And I've got people from the medical field that are sitting here, a doctor, a nurse, and that's true. Hope is so important. Some people, I think, die too soon because they lose hope. And they're not looking to God to be their strength. So even our secular world notices that. I don't know that doctor was even a believer. Fabulous guy. But they recognize the value of hope. They recognize it. They didn't have the scripture. Well, they do, but I'm not sure that they knew that. But that was something over and over again. Wherever we went, there were people giving us hope, and that was so important. Did I get what I hoped for in that situation? Not necessarily. But God, nevertheless, has been so faithful throughout my life. He has. And here's the other fact. He binds up the brokenhearted. You know, I felt so hopeless. My heart was so broken, and I couldn't imagine life going forward. But God was faithful to bind that up, and He was faithful to give me a testimony and to use that adversity and to give me a man that loves me dearly again. God is looking for people to be optimistic, to see all the possibilities in life and hope in Him. So let me encourage you to put your expectation in Him, or you've put it in other people. Erase that thought. Erase that thought. And embrace a Savior that loves you dearly. That loves you dearly. And I want to close with Jeremiah 31 and verse 17. So there is hope for your future. I want to encourage you to take the study questions and really process them this week. Really dig into it and work hope into the fabric of your life. Because not only does God want to restore your hope in situations, but He wants to use you to give it to other people and lead them to Him. Let's stand up, and I'd like to pray. I'd like to lead you in a prayer. And let's get us back on track. Thank you, Lord. Pray this with me if you want to, if you want to get rid of some of the hopelessness, if you've seen just some areas that you've lost hope. Say, God, I come to you tonight, and I realized I've lost hope. In this area, and I want you to fill in the blank. You can just whisper it. God, where I've put my hope in circumstances, in people, in money, in the wrong things, I look to you tonight to be my God of hope. Forgive me for where I've looked to others, other people and other things instead of you. Forgive me for trying to fix things. Forgive my doubt and unbelief. I can see where I may have listened to a lie. And you're a God of truth. And I declare tonight that I will wait patiently and put my expectation in your character, a God who loves me, a God who's good, a God who's peaceful, a God who wants the best for me. And I thank you that there is hope for my future. I declare my hope in you. Let me wake up each day with anticipation of how you're going to work in my behalf. Thank you for your love. Restore my hope. And joy and peace in this situation, in every situation I face. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, this is Kathleen Maxwell Ramby with The Gathering, bringing God into everyday life. I'm so glad that you're joining us for today's podcast, and I hope you enjoy the lesson. And remember, don't just listen, partner with God in practicing it. I want to give a big thank you to some people that helped make this podcast possible: Laura Jane Elder, Mary Mitchelstein, Lori Milton, Kala Melissa Johnson, Lisa Davis, Linda Force, Fran Hulse, Indiana Caraway, for their support of this podcast. If you love this podcast, consider becoming a patron. Your donations keep them coming and are appreciated to cover the cost. To give, simply click on the button that says Become a Patron or Patronage. My heart is to share my life stories of how God wants to be a part of our everyday life through real life experiences with Him and share His Word. I want people's hearts to be encouraged, healed, set free, and strengthened as they listen. I have chosen not to charge for podcasts as I know some cannot afford it, and yet I trust God to speak to those that can support the ministry. Also, if you enjoyed today's message, click the button that says leave a comment or like, and also follow. When you click the follow button, then you will get notification of new podcasts as they come out. And don't forget to check us out at Facebook at The Gathering Kerrville. Thanks again for joining us. And if you want to join us live, we meet at the Kroc Center in Kerrville, Texas at 6:30 p.m. each Tuesday evening. I hope that you will join me and the awesome team that helps facilitate these lessons. To register, you can email me at KathleenMaxwell1@gmail.com. Thanks so much, and have a great day.